What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
From KMOX Sports.
Come on, let's get going now.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Wind swings and he drives that to left field. Back to the track and gone!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
Now, Matt Pauly and the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Well, you get to finish out 2024 with Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly today and tomorrow. Much well-deserved time away for Matt Pauly so he can have some family time over the next couple of nights. He was in here last week doing the DGS, so he has been doing all kinds of things and is more than deserving of getting a couple of nights off here for the remainder of the year. And so I will be with you tonight and tomorrow, and I'm glad to be so, be here. Glad you're with us tonight as we chat a number of things. The Missouri Tigers coming away with a come-from-behind win in the Music City Bowl. Say what you will of if you are glad the Tigers are there, if you thought they should be elsewhere, if you thought they should be a playoff team, and of course, I mean earlier in the year, thought they should be a playoff team, or thought they would be a playoff team. They get the bowl game, they get the win, they come from behind, they play very well, specifically in the second half, and finish this season out incredibly strong, and in the process, hit some milestones. I talked about this on Friday a little bit in this program, just what this bowl game meant. Again, regardless of what you believe about, you know, this not being where they want it to be, and maybe that's the case, and maybe that's what some of the folks closest to Mizzou will tell you. But they did not lay down. They did not, take this bowl lightly. It looked like it wasn't going to be a good day for some of this time. They were down 24-14 at the start of the third quarter, so it looked like it was going to be Iowa's day. But again, they come back, they score 13 unanswered points, and they come away with a win in really fine fashion. Brady Cook hit some milestones, the team hit some milestones, and you're doing all of this without Luther Bird III, obviously. He was there, he was on the sideline, they showed him numerous times in his uniform top, but of course not playing. And then they lose Theo Weiss Jr., who went out with a big hit in the second quarter, and then did not return to the game. So you're without who is then your number one receiver after, or when you came into the game with him as your number one receiver, and you're without him. Marquise Johnson took a hard hit late in the game. It looked like he might not return. He does come back, and he ends up with 122 yards and a touchdown. So a lot of good things coming out of Nashville today for the Missouri Tigers, and I think it says a lot about where this program is, and even going back to the beginning of the year, where the expectations for this program, where they were then, and again, whether they met them or not, according to you, is fine, but this was a good way to finish out this season for the Missouri Tigers, for Eli Drinkwitz, for Brady Cook, so congrats to everyone on the Mizzou side there. We're going to talk plenty more about this game, about this season. Daniel Esteve will join us coming up at 6:35 from Fox 2 and KPLR 11. We'll talk some NFL coming up here in our next segment. Patrick Daugherty is going to join us for NBC Sports. We'll also get into the Blues. Of course, the Blues going to be at Wrigley Field tomorrow for the Winter Classic. So instead of the what is sort of typical New Year's Day Winter Classic, they're going back to New Year's Eve for this one because of, I think, largely to avoid the college football playoff. You've got three of the quarterfinal, the semifinals of the college football playoff going on Wednesday. So avoid that. Play this game tomorrow, and they'll play this game at 4 o'clock tomorrow. So that's even before there is one game tomorrow night in the college football playoff. So they'll play this game before that one gets underway. And I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be, you know, I heard a little bit of Kevin Wheeler on the DGS today kind of talking about maybe the game's lost a little bit for him in his mind. I still think it's cool. I still think the idea of outdoor hockey is while it's not a novelty maybe as it was when they started this game, I still think it's kind of a cool tradition. My brother-in-law has said for years, and this is really relevant now because as we talk a lot about the NFL and playing a couple of games on Christmas, when that's largely been the NBA's day, he said, my brother-in-law, Chris Benton, said they could have done this with New Year's Day for the NHL. They could have really made that like a premier day. And again, that's been largely a college football day, depending on the bowls. But even if you wanted to do it New Year's Eve, I guess, you could kind of pick that day and you could do several outdoor games, kind of be a cool thing. But as it is, the Blues back in the Winter Classic, and we'll talk to Matthew DeFranks of STL Today and the Post-Dispatch. We'll talk to him coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. Probably have time for a call or two if you want to get him in during the show, and we can talk about a variety of topics. There's not much going on baseball-wise. Obviously, it's really quiet around here, really quiet around the Cardinals and what they're not doing right now. So there's not much to talk about on that front. Again, I'll be here tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, I think we can talk a little bit more about maybe what your expectations are for 2025 and the calendar year to come and what maybe you expect from some St. Louis sports. But we can do that again tomorrow night. When we come back here on Sports Open Line, we're going to talk to Patrick Daugherty of NBC Sports. We'll talk a little NFL as they get set to finish off Week 17 tonight, get into Week 18 of the regular season. That's coming up. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly tonight, and we'll come right back on KMOX. Joe Pott back in on the Graybar Sports Open Line in for Matt Pauly tonight and tomorrow as he gets some time off here at the end of the calendar year. We are also coming down to the end of the regular season in the NFL, of course, and I'm pleased to be joined now by Pat Daugherty of NBC Sports. He covers the NFL, a lot of fantasy news for NBC Sports as well. Pat, Joe Pott with you, and we have not had a chance to do this before, so first off, thank you, and I hope the holiday season's been good to you so far.
It has. It got better today. I'm a Mizzou alum, and it felt like a surprisingly low-key Mizzou bowl to me. You know, even though we beat Ohio State last year, like I felt like we hadn't won a bowl in like 20 years, and like this, there was just very little shenanigans the second half. So you're finding a more relaxed version of me. You might have found if we had lost.
I have no idea if you managed to catch my opening kind of segment here, but I was talking about the fact that this, you know, regardless of where you thought maybe this Mizzou team was going to be going into this year, this is a great way to finish out this year, in my opinion.
It is, except for the only thing I'll be going over the counterfactuals probably the rest of my life. You know, one different play against South Carolina.
Right.
We won a lot of games. I keep saying we. Mizzou won a lot of games.
You're good. Yeah, you're we. Your degree says you are we.
Yeah, I can be we with Mizzou. It's the one team I can be we with. But yeah, I'll be going over the counterfactuals, especially one or two plays against South Carolina. I'll be happy to at least end the season this way, as opposed to, you know, a very Mizzou way, and like, thank no one got hurt, nothing crazy happened.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I was saying last week doing this, it's really tough that those two blowout wins, and then it's that a game you played pretty well against South Carolina, but ultimately it's that third win that you can't absorb.
It was the South Carolina game too. It came after a couple of games we should not have won, especially the Auburn game.
Yep.
In my mind, the Oklahoma game maybe, where they were beginning to feel like a team of destiny. And Mizzou maybe will never be a team of destiny, but at least we were not a team of utter embarrassment this year.
That is true. Well, Pat Daugherty, we got you on to talk some NFL, so let's do that. Week 17 finishing up tonight, Monday Night Football with Detroit and San Francisco. Not much really that is going to affect, and that's kind of the way that Week 18 is going to play out because of everything that happened in Week 17, with the exception of a few folks that are still looking at that last playoff spot.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that, like, tonight's game losing luster is kind of emblematic of Week 18 in general, where there's just not a lot on the line. And there's a lot of seeding. There's going to be teams in the NFC that want to avoid the loser of Vikings-Lions. So there'll be some jockeying. But, you know, the teams that are on the bubble like need like two or three different things to happen, and there's just not a lot of drama. And it's pretty disappointing. You know, tonight, NFC Championship game rematch, the Lions, who don't have their seed locked up, and yet tonight somehow just doesn't even matter. The Lions are the kind of team I think are going to still give us a good game. They don't want to let off the gas heading into their most important game of the season. So I think they will go all out tonight. But yeah, other than Vikings and Lions, which was one of the biggest regular season games in recent memory, there's just disappointingly little at stake in Week 18. That even includes like the records front.
Right.
You know, Saquon Barkley, you know, listen, 17 games versus 16 for Eric Dickerson. But if the Eagles had anything to play for, we'd see a guy making a run at the regular season rushing record. The Eagles locked into the number two seed. I don't think there's any way they're going to let him pursue that. And just very, very low key Week 18.
Yeah, and you really can't, right? Like, I mean, I read what you wrote earlier today, and you were talking about maybe gets a little bit of time on the first, but it's mostly just to make sure he doesn't get an entire week off, stay fresh. But there's no way that he goes after that. It's still 100 something yards away, right, from Dickerson.
He's 101 from setting the record, 100 behind Eric. And yeah, I mean, maybe he's gashing. You know, this is the classic. A classic meme narrative in fantasy football is the revenge game. And he ran wild against the Giants the first time they played this year. And maybe if they're just clearing enormous holes, they'll let him make at least a first half run at the record. But it just seems unlikely, because even if they let Saquon play, I'm sure some other key players will be out. And it seems like the record-setting environment won't even be there, even if he played. I think, too, they're just going to kind of quit while they're ahead. But you make it through 16 games with your running back, you're not only being healthy, but maybe as healthy as Saquon Barkley has ever been, a guy who's known for his injuries. I do not think they're going to tempt fate, even as tempting as it might be to pursue the record.
Yeah, that's a fair point. When it comes to the AFC, it just feels like we are destined for another Kansas City-Buffalo finish to the AFC.
It does. It really does feel inevitable, especially – it's weird to say with the Chiefs being 15-1, this kind of feels like the most vulnerable they've been maybe during this entire run, maybe even including last year. Maybe I'm one of those people who I'm grading the Chiefs a little too harshly, like, oh, they're not winning with enough style. Clearly they just know how to win. but yeah, it just seems like it was a great year for the Chiefs who to have that bye and to have home field advantage, because I think they probably will be better in the following years. So it's pretty crazy, like maybe like your reset year to be 15-1, but this feels like this is not a complete version of the Chiefs where maybe they need a little help. It's scary to think of Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid having help, but they got it with having the bye, having home field advantage, and yeah, not to go down like narrative street and like sports psychology street, but this seems like they're in the Ravens and the Bills' head. And whereas maybe going on the road, you know, they went on the road last year, of course, and won both those places anyway. It just seemed like a year where they needed that boost, the Chiefs, and they've got it.
Pat Daugherty, is Josh Allen your NFL MVP this year?
He was for a while, but I think the Lamar Jackson, not to base it only on stats, because it's not just about stats.
Sure. Where,
Lamar's case to me has just become overwhelming. I mean, like, we're just seeing like bonkers statistics, like bonkers just not just compiling, but efficiency. And I've seen several people make the valid point that, you know, if Lamar wins this MVP, he'll have 3 to Josh Allen 0. And everyone knows, like, if you're talking fairness, like, it's not a case where Lamar, quote, deserves 3 MVPs while Josh has none. We know they're neck and neck in terms of, like, their value, in terms of, you know, their statistical compiling. You could make many valid arguments. Josh Allen is better than Lamar, but the statistical case is just—it's just overwhelming. I mean, Lamar is having another historic season where it's just very rare to see a player this efficient, but also like this much of a box score stuffer. And I just don't know if Josh Allen can really catch up on that. I think he will get votes, almost like lifetime achievement votes. Not that he's not having an amazing season, he is. But I think if you're basing it solely on the stats, Lamar has pulled away, and it's not like the Bills are having that much better of a season than the Ravens. And I think I'm actually not a betting man, but if I were a betting man, I do think we're going to see Lamar take home his third. And this is kind of the way things have shaken out for Josh. There's no poetic justice in Lamar having 3 and him having none, but I do think Lamar deserves it this year.
And it feels almost like it's season long for Lamar Jackson, as opposed to, man, we've seen some crazy good games from Josh Allen. But when you look at the full season, full body of work, that's maybe where the edge goes, right?
It does. And he's kind of done it every which way too this year. And again, this is not like a slight on Josh Allen, but Lamar has grinded out some games. I mean, he's had some games where, you know, he's just gone like supernova, basically, posting truly bonkers box scores. But he's really been grinding out wins lately, where the defense hasn't been great. It's been the kind of year where he's needed to be perfect, where he's needed to honestly have his best season. And they were kind of on the brink midseason. They couldn't stop anybody. Even the run game had waned a little bit. Seemed like they're running low on weapons. And he just did the class. He put the team on his back. Not that we haven't seen this from him before, but it's just been so impressive what Lamar Jackson's been doing this year.
So as we get into week 18, but then ultimately into the playoffs, what is it that you're looking most forward to? Is there a matchup that you want to see or expect to see? What's kind of top of mind as we get there in the next couple of weeks?
It is the Chiefs. I guess it's kind of always the Chiefs at this point. But I thought last year, like the 49ers, to me it felt like the 49ers were at – well, some people thought, you know, the 49ers were maybe entering a window. Windows are always shorter than they appear in the NFL. And I just thought the 49ers had to have that game against the Chiefs. They had really good injury luck last year, the 49ers. They had, you know, their salary cap situation was great. They had to have that game. They didn't get it. And they did fall off this year. And the Bills and the Ravens, I don't think they're quite in the same situation the 49ers were last year, since Lamar and Josh Allen are such transcendent talents, still in their primes. But again, it sounds funny to say that 15-1, the Chiefs are vulnerable. But if the Ravens or the Bills don't knock off the Chiefs this year, it's just kind of hard to see when it's going to happen. And one of those teams that has to break through this year, and if they don't, I mean, we could be looking at like a truly – we're already on a historic run from Kansas City. We could be looking at something like getting like beyond anything we've ever seen in terms of NFL dynasty if the Bills or Ravens cannot stop the Chiefs this year. That's my number one. I would love the Lions, who I think did look like the best, most complete team in the NFL this year, more so than even the Chiefs. They've taken on so much injury water, though. They have to win this game. They desperately need the bye, not just for rest purposes, but – They're a really vulnerable team. They need to only win two games. Winning three, I think, is going to be harder for them. They need to be at home. I thought that if like injuries were turned off this year, the Lions are the best team. I think they're at the point, though, with their injuries, they need more help this year.
Ironic that you say that, as with the TV in the studio here, it's got Monday Night Football, and they're listing the injuries that Detroit has racked up this year.
If you're a graphics designer, you were making a lot of money on Lions injury graphics. I don't know. We say this about a team or two every year, but I don't know if I've ever seen anything like the Lions injury situation. And for a while, too, it had been only contained to the defense, where they could at least maybe construct the case, all right, the defense is super banged up. We're just going to win shootouts every week. We're going to try to blow people out of the building. Or now even David Montgomery's out. He could come back. They at least thankfully have Jahmyr Gibbs, one of the best overall running backs in the NFL. But they had, I used the phrase team of destiny earlier. The Lions had that feel until these injuries set in. And I just think, I'm worried that's going to be too much to overcome for them.
Pat Daugherty, this has been great. I really appreciate you doing this. I know the holidays, there are commitments left and right, and you've got family and friends and everybody else to see. But we appreciate you taking a few minutes tonight and look forward to doing it again down the road.
Now, KMOX is someone I always make time for as a St. Louis native, still current, a greater St. Louis resident, I should say. I live in St. Charles.
That's all right.
I won't try to stolen St. Louis valor, but I will always make time for KMOX. Truly my pleasure.
All accounts, that is for sure. At RotoPat is where you can find him on X, and we appreciate him taking some time tonight. Pat Daugherty from NBC Sports talking some NFL with us tonight here on the Graybar Sports Open Line. We'll keep things moving here. We're going to get to Daniel Esteve coming up on the other side of the break. He just finished doing the sports, too. He's just going to do the sports there and come and talk some Mizzou football, among other things, with us here on Sports Open Line. Joe Pott sitting in for Matt Pauly tonight and tomorrow night, chatting some sports with you. Glad you are with us on this, what is now a rainy Monday night. I'm sick of the rain. I've had enough of it at this point. We're coming back with Daniel Esteve here as the Graybar Sports Open Line continues on KMOX.
Monday night in downtown St. Louis, it is the Graybar Sports Open Line. Joel Pott sitting in for Matt Pauly tonight and tomorrow night. Glad you're with us as we wrap up 2024. That is hard to believe, first of all. It's just crazy to me to think that here we are in the last couple of days of 2024. It feels, in some regards, this is probably always the case. In some regards, it feels like, man, it was just... It was so long ago when we were, you know, at New Year's Eve. But then in other regards, it's like, man, where did that year go? That's the overwhelming feeling to me is where did that year go? Well, we are pleased. I am pleased to have our next guest. He is Daniel Esteve from Fox 2 and KPLR 11 and literally just got off the air. He just did sports and now he's going to come and talk some more sports with us. So always a pleasure, Daniel. Thank you so much.
Joe, it's always a pleasure to chat with you guys. Are you kidding? I'd be on set and call into this show if I could. So
why have we not made that happen?
Chat with you guys is great. I mean, honestly, I'll walk back on set right now. I think the show's still going on. It'll be great.
just walk right across. I'm sure they wouldn't mind at all.
I'm sure I could get a couple more intriguing guests than me for your guys' show. I think Mandy Murphy or even Haley Fitzpatrick would be a much better guest. But I appreciate you guys. Scratching that Fox 2 barrel for me.
Of course. And glad to do it. And as we wrap up this 2024 year, but you were just having some Mizzou highlights, and I know I told you we'd talk some Mizzou, so let's definitely start there because I do think this was a really nice way to end this season for the Missouri Tigers.
I think it really just solidified the fact that we have taken that step. I don't want to say entered a new era because we've had so many great eras in Mizzou football history, but we've really taken that next step in the pedigree of the program. When you look back to that South Carolina game, and this is what I alluded to on the show at 6, was a super disappointing way to essentially close out any hope of a playoff run, right? And at that point, you're thinking, well, Mizzou came in with so much hype, Cotton Bowl champs last year. They really felt like they couldn't get off the ground. You go into Texas A&M, you get destroyed. You go into Alabama, you get destroyed. How would this team respond? And it just feels like maybe if the talent or, you know, the timing didn't work out, at least you could stand on the pedigree of the program as the season came to a close. And you saw that not in the Mississippi State game or the Arkansas game, which you certainly saw shades of it, but you saw it multiple times in the Iowa game, responding, what, 3 different times from a touchdown or more deficit to come back and tie or retake a lead. It was incredible to watch.
And that is it. I think that's a great point. I was talking to one of our other producers here this afternoon before he left, and he said, you know, you get down in that game 24-14, and how many Mizzou teams in the past are just like, well, you know, we gave it a shot. That was kind of it. And they didn't. And then just to make that point, they stuff Iowa on a fourth down drive to essentially win that game.
And I think that was the best part for all the Mizzou, you know, traditionalists out there is, yes, of course, it's a great story for us in St. Louis to see Brady Cook shine. He's the game MVP. It's awesome. But Mizzou's peak time, whenever you look back throughout history, man, that Mizzou defense is something you always look at. And it's not ironic that 2013, 2014, the last back-to-back 10-plus win seasons, I mean, Gary Finkel's defense was stout. And honestly played a role in me even discovering the University of Missouri as a potential school to attend. So credit to that defense, credit to this defense. It was just poetic all the way around.
That's pretty cool that the Tigers, the Mizzou football brought you there. That's pretty cool. But
Shane Ray and Marcus Golden.
Yes.
Quite literally watching them destroy Oklahoma State. And that wasn't a great defensive game, but they solidified it, right? 2013, I believe. I was watching the game. And I had never heard of Mizzou, but I was like, oh, man, this could be fun. Let's Google it. And sure enough, was able to go and visit and ended up being the one.
Wow, that is really cool. Daniel Esteve with us from Fox 2 and KPLR 11. Let's talk a little bit, though, about Brady Cook and the, I guess, the legacy that he leaves. A St. Louis kid, obviously, who now is number 3 all-time on the passing yards list at Mizzou, more than 9,000 in his career, really did solidify a very nice legacy as he finishes off today.
A super nice legacy. And I don't think, you know, the stats really tell that whole story. I've been seeing a ton of people throughout the he only lost 5 games or whatever it was throughout his entire tenure as a starting quarterback at the University of Missouri. But for me, again, you kind of got to look at the overarching theme of where the program was and how he left it. And this, I think you have seen a bit of appreciation for on social media and just people I've talked to, but I'd like that to be at the forefront because it was shaky waters. I mean, you talk about Eli Drinkwitz before that 11-win season, taking down Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl. I mean, he couldn't get over 500. And of course, the focus is going to go on the head coach and the quarterback. Bottom line, that's just the way it works. And Brady Cook received so much scrutiny, me included at some points, thinking, hey, is this the guy that's really going to get you over the hump? And for him to stay resilient and then perform the way he has in some of the moments that he's been given, I mean, it's just awesome. Like a really, really cool story for a kid who was obviously a diehard Mizzou fan growing up. I think you really can't script something better. Now, it's on the program and the people who come after him to make sure that all those efforts, all that scrutiny Brady Cook took isn't in vain because, where again, he took the program and left the program is in a much better place. You just got to make sure that trend continues up.
Yeah, and I think that speaks to not just Mizzou, right? That's the college sports world in general. Certainly the college football world is oftentimes you don't know what you are going to get from year to year. And I know we've already seen some incoming guys into the Mizzou program. And that is where it sort of teeters on what you said right off the top is that are we entering, like, what kind of era are we entering here? And it oftentimes, or where it's going to be, predicated on what comes next.
Oh, 100%. And it's an interesting strategy that also Brady Cook plays a huge role in. I mean, we've been seeing Mizzou to the Lou, right?
Yep.
Or, you know, get the St. Louis kids, get them to Mizzou. We need to keep our hometown talent. Brady Cook is obviously the epitome of that, right? Coming from St. Louis, he comes, he stays, and then you get Luther Burden to come back. You get Toriano Pride to come back. You start to see this wave of local talent come and want to play for the University of Missouri. And that's all cool, but you still have to succeed. And so for that core group to succeed is awesome because it tells all these incredibly talented kids in the state of Missouri that, hey, not only is it awesome to play for your home state team, but it's also a great place to compete. And I think if you don't have these last couple of years led by Brady Cook, you can't really sell that as well. And Joe, to your point, in an ever-changing collegiate landscape, it's rare that you're able to keep these kids for more than a year, let alone keep your local talent and sell on a dream rather than just, hey, we're going to pay you a ton of cash to come and play at whatever program it may be. So a really unique approach that Mizzou took, maybe a gamble to some people's eyes, but it's paid off so well, especially from our St. Louis perspective, seeing so many St. Louis guys perform so well. Shout out to Toriano Pride for a game-changing interception.
Big time,
as well.
Big time pick on the sideline. Yeah, for sure. And I think you hit it on the head when you talk about because let's be honest, obviously Mizzou is going to be able to compete resources wise and maybe not at the highest highs of college football, but they're an SEC program and let nobody tell you that they are lacking for resources, right? So we know that, but there still has to be, I want to have some success. They're not just going to get paid, but if they can get paid and have some success, that makes a difference.
Oh, it's a huge difference maker. And now they've got the resume to show for it. Essentially, and I already alluded to it, but you talk about those first couple of years under Eli Drinkwitz, you were selling a dream.
Right.
And for me, I'm such a supporter of coaches needing time. This changing landscape in college football, it's tough because you've got to play the transfer portal. And it's not just, hey, give the coach 2 or 3 years to get their recruiting class. And you can't really play that card anymore. But to some degree, you've got to give them time to establish a program. And to Eli Drinkwitz's credit, he has consistently talked about how they are building a program and these are the intangibles that you need in the program and we need to set the standard. He has not gone off that line, though he's used it a lot, I will say. He's not gone off of it. And now he's got 2 years of consistent success that a coach like Gary Pinkel had, who we hold in very, very high regard. He's got that level of success. So now he's got something that, yes, I can sell a dream, but I can also sell reality on top of it.
And attendance is following, and donor money is following, and ultimately those are the things that are also going to spell the end of a coach, even if they are maybe well-liked, maybe having some mild success. But if you're having that success, you're drawing the crowds and then ultimately drawing the money from those crowds, that's what's going to keep you at a place for a while.
And then you're building a whole new north end zone side of the field to surround your awesome lawn with the big rock end, which I'm pumped that they're keeping, by the way. But yeah, that's going to be what continues to sell the future generations coming to Mizzou. And it also says, to your credit, hey, we are in the SEC. We are, in our eyes, the biggest and the baddest, and we need to look the part. Mizzou is really starting to look the part, both on the field and because of that on-field performance in their facilities as well. And their facilities get better year in and year out.
Yeah, there is no question about that. Before I let you go, real quick, thoughts on the Blues, where they are now? Do you feel like you know what this team is as they get set to face a not a very good Blackhawks team at the Winter Classic tomorrow?
I think, you know, it's funny, we've been talking kind of circles, but it really kind of, it feels a lot like what we were talking about in Eli Drinkwitz's tenure. I think you've got to feel comfortable in the dream that we're being sold with Jim Montgomery. I mean, you talk about the pedigree of his coaching career, obviously his ties to St. Louis, his love for St. Louis, and then the way they've gone about it. And I think you and I specifically have talked about this, Joe, kind of the correlation between how the Cardinals are approaching a pseudo rebuild, or in some people's eyes, an unwillingness to truly rebuild, and then the way the Blues did it. The Blues were very intentional on, hey, we've got to give up some of our top talent, the Tarasenkos of the world, the O'Reillys of the world, but we know we're going to keep enough to keep maybe that dream alive while fostering some really good young talent on the back end. None of that matters if you don't have the man in charge. And I think they made it very clear Montgomery was the guy they wanted. So I've been an optimist. I will remain an optimist, unless we're talking about the Dallas Cowboys. That's a different conversation. I will remain an optimist. I am really intrigued and excited for the future of the Blues. Now, what does that say about Tuesday's game? It's a Winter Classic. The Blues are 2-0 in Winter Classics. I'm just going to ride on that high. Not any high expectations beyond that this season, if I'm being honest.
And do you like the Winter Classic still?
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I think the Winter Classic is cool. You got to understand, Joe, that I'm from Brownsville, Texas.
Right.
For any of your listeners out there who don't know where that is on a map, South Padre Island, it's the southernmost landlocked city in the U.S. We didn't know what hockey was. So coming up to St. Louis, getting exposed to it, and one of my very first things I got to cover was a Winter Classic event.
Very cool.
I just think it's a super unique thing. The sport's awesome. The fans, I think the Blues fans are some of the best, if not the best, in the country. It's all in all just a really great, great thing. So I'm all for it.
Well, I kept you a little longer tonight, but I appreciate it. Like I said, I know that there is a ton going on. It's holiday season. I hope it has been a great season for you. And I look forward to seeing what's to come for you as well. But I always appreciate the chance to catch up, man.
Hey, likewise, Joe. Seriously, man. It means a lot. Really excited to chat with you guys. And you guys can always have as much time as you want, all right?
I appreciate it, man. That is good to hear. Daniel Esteva with us here on a Monday night. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly. We'll take a break. We'll wrap up the 6 o'clock hour on the other side of the break. It is Camo X.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Wrapping things up in the 6 o'clock hour here on this Graybar Sports Open Line, I'm Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly tonight and tomorrow. Glad you're with us, and I hope it's been a great holiday season for you, and hope it's going to be a really nice new year for everyone as well. As I said, I guess it was last segment, just that it, you know, looking back, it kind of feels like, man, where did this year go? But so many things that happened throughout the year and so much time, obviously so much that we reflect on as we get into this month. And I know it is not great for a lot of people. And I am certainly, I certainly feel fortunate that I have a lot of family and friends around, and I hope that it's as good as it can be for you as we get into the last couple of days here of 2024. So I turned on the Mizzou game this afternoon, and I turned it on a little bit before it started. It kicked off at 1:30, so I caught the very end of SportsCenter, which, of course, used to be appointment television for a lot of us, and it's not anymore, and it's not because I can go anywhere and find my scores. I don't need to go to SportsCenter. I don't even need to go to SportsCenter to see the highlights of the games that are elsewhere and out of town and all that. I can find all of that elsewhere, including in large part on the ESPN website, right? So they have in part contributed to the reason I'm not watching SportsCenter. And the ESPN app and everything is showing me everything that I want and telling me everything I want. But they finished off the program today rating players' outfits as they came into their respective buildings. I don't even know who they rated. I don't have any idea who it was they were looking at. It was the female host rating the outfits, asking the male host if he could pull it off and this and that. Really? Like, that is where SportsCenter has gotten to? Because I completely understand that we can't fill an hour show anymore with just highlights. But as someone who is also, whether it's this job or it's my full-time job at SIUE, the thing that I'm always thinking about or hearing about is, like, why can't we know more? I think people want to know the athletes, right? So it seems to me that if we're not doing an hour of highlights and top 10 plays, or we don't have enough to do that, or it's not no longer going to get us the ratings, wouldn't it get us the ratings? Wouldn't it be more enticing, more viewership drawing to have more in-depth stories so we get to know some of these players that we are constantly watching and constantly following for fantasy points or whatever the reason that we're interested in it. But outfits, that one just got me. I feel like, man, we are seriously reaching when we start talking about what outfits that players are wearing as they come into their competitive arena, where, you know, it's the arrival. And I get it. Like, let's see him coming off the bus. That's kind of cool. Fine. A little peek behind the curtain. Although now we've been seeing that for years and years too. So even that's not even anything that is too spectacular anymore, but to actually like talk about what they're wearing, I don't understand that at all. It didn't mean, because the other thing is that for forever, pro athletes, and to more of an extent, even like college athletes, like that's part of what they're doing. That's part of what they're doing to draw attention, is that they're wearing different, crazier stuff. And I get it, and we've all seen it, but I don't know. It just was like off-putting to turn that on this afternoon when it's normally, well, I had hoped maybe there'd be a little bit of a college pregame, something leading into it, and there just wasn't. It was just, I'm sure it was the recycled SportsCenter that had been playing all morning. But again, I'm not spending a lot of time on ESPN. To be honest, I'm not spending a lot of time on ESPN unless it is the live game. Like, that's really where I'm going to ESPN for these days, because I'm not watching a ton of the pre and post game shows if they are on. I mean, I had ESPN on again this afternoon here as I got here to the studio because I was watching the end of that Missouri game, and it got into a really long Monday Night Football countdown, which again, and there were better stuff there because I saw they were walking through the parking lots and they were looking at tailgates and all the great food that people were preparing. That's interesting to me. That's way more interesting to me than knowing what a player is wearing coming into the arena. I don't know. Again, it was just off-putting for me. And so that's my little rant to finish off our 6 o'clock hour here on the Graybar Sports Open Line. We still do have an hour to go. We're going to talk Blues coming up early in the 7 o'clock hour with Matthew DeFranks, who covers the team for STL Today and the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. We'll get a little bit actually from an interview from earlier this afternoon with Wheels and Bernie Mikulas. They talked to Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports about the college football playoffs, so we'll get into that. And we may have some time for some phone calls as well. We'll see how things turn out. It's all coming up in the 7 o'clock hour as the Graybar Sports Open Line continues. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly right here on KMOX.